has Vav and Aleph has a famous machlokes Abai Barabba with a lechi ha'oimid me'eir. If you have a mavi that has three walls and you need a tikkun on the roof, revius midirabbanon. So the Mishnah says a machlokes bishan and misil, be passed like the sil. Then sufficient if you put one lechi on one end or on the other. What's the hinder mavi? So you have three walls, and then a third you're allowed to carry here, but with the rabban you need some tikkun over here. You can either put a lucky over here or a lucky over here, that's sufficient. If Mana said there's no din of mavui, the Ramah says, if you only have all the fullness of a chatzir, so in a chatzir, the Gemara says you have to have two lucky, the lucky here and a lucky there. And it doesn't help if the gap is going to be yes and a yes and more than yes and Ramah, so then you have to put it to Tzuris HaPesach. So we don't waste our time, we make it to Tzuris HaPesach right away. That's what the Ramah says. Our meaning is we always make it to Tzuris HaPesach, even if the gap is less than yes and Ramah. Anyway, so the Gemara has a, this is a very famous machlokes Abai Barabba, but a lechi ha'imin me'elav is good enough. It became famous because of Rashi. The Rashi claims that the Gemara says a din is like Abai, the Yalkigam, in six cases. Usually the din is like Rav, except for Yalkigam. So Rashi has to be mefanet. Some of the Rashi tevis, we know what they stand for. Yushalani does. The Gemara says that's the Yud. And Eitzani al Mafreho Nifsal, that's the Yayin. And Mumarech on the Beilus Lahachis, that's the Mem. The three of them we know. And the others we're not so sure about. So the Laman is the famous Machlegis, Rashi and Rabbi Natan. So Rashi says that the din is like Abayi, Belechi, Hoimid, Ne'elov. Rabbi Natan disagrees, says not true. The Laman stands for you may lay the Shein Arabim, some a topic in Hilchas Nida. So the Gemara has this Machlegis, what's the din if the Lechi is I'm in Ne'elov? You certainly, the Gemara says, you certainly have to have some Achol of Mubodyon. Let's say I come to an area. And in the middle of Shabbos, I realized, oh, that there's a lechi over there. So if I didn't have in mind, if I didn't plan the bod yom before Shabbos to rely on the lechi, the Gemara says that for sure is no good. That's both by lechi and by korah. The shaila is, what if I was some achol of a bod yom? I had a mind to rely on it in bod yom, so you have a heker, you have to have a heker in lechi v'korah. Otherwise it doesn't work. So the requirement for some achol of a bod yom is that you have the heker. But the question is that sufficient? Heker is enough, or do you have to have that? She be nasi l'shem kach. So that's the machlokes Abai Barabba, whether lechi ha'imim me'elav is good. Do you need a chefza of a heker? Has to be nasi l'shem heker. Oh no, lechi is a mechitza, just that it needs heker. So mechitza ha'meris me'elehu is also good. That's where the Gemara finally comes to the conclusion. That a mechitza ha'meris me'elehu is good, and Gemara brings a riot. Gemara brings a lot of riots. That a mechitza that's, let's say I come someplace, I come to a hotel for Shabbos, then I'm trying to figure out the middle of Shabbos, I just made it by Lichtenstein, and then in the middle of Shabbos I'm trying to figure out, can I carry in the front lawn, in the backyard? I start looking around and I see, oh, there are fences here, and the fences there, it has mechitzas. I didn't put up the mechitzas, and I didn't even know that there were mechitzas. It doesn't matter, by mechitzas mamish, you don't need nasa l'shem kach, amedes melech is good, and you don't need samacholam and bolyon. So that's beferish in the morning, mechitza amedes melech is good. The Gemara has a rule, Mishnah is like that. You don't need that every inch of the way you should have a mechitza. Let's say if you have a Rishus HaYochid, which is Mukha, if you have mechitzas around. So how's anyone going to get in? So you have to have a door that you can open the door. So you say the minute that you open the door, so you're not allowed to carry inside because you're missing a mechitza there. So the din is, so the answer is, well, you have a Tzuris HaPesach. So the Tzuris HaPesach substitute. But even if you wouldn't have a Tzuris HaPesach, the halacha says that if you have a little opening, as long as Raif of the mechitza is standing, so the din is Ruba Kukulai. The Ruba Kukulai, there's a Shvere Orach HaShulchan that they asked Moshe Feinstein about. So he tried to give a Shvacha Teretz, whatever, but it's not the Teretz that he gave is not La Halacha. He says himself, Orach HaShulchan writes that since in the Torah you don't need anything on the roof, and you just need three mechitzas. So let's say this is 100 amos long. This is 50 amas wide and 100 amas long. So the sum total is 250. So you have to have oimid berubal aparetz. The sach hakol should be 126. 126 is 51%, more than 50% of the 250. And it depends on all the three defanas all added up together. So the Yeskra Moshe Feinstein is against the Gemara Beferish. You take each ruach separately. This is, if it's approximately rectangular shape, so this ruach is 100 amas. You have to make sure that you have 51% of this ruach standing. You have to have 51% of this ruach standing. You have to have 51% of this ruach standing. You have no right to say that you take all the three together, adds up to some total of 250. So 126 standing is good, no matter where it's missing, where it's standing. Ramayisha tries to be the Asher. Darach HaShulchan says maybe he means on the level of the Raisa. But bottom line, halacha lemaisa, the din is certainly not so. Darach HaShulchan himself quotes all the details that you treat each bar of the mechitza separately.
If you were to say that it means that literally that you need only of the three walls, then if you have a long, a long Mishra, a long Mabu Mekulash, then by definition you have Rubah among the Rubah, because you have one wall is completely missing, but who cares? You have the other walls are long enough to make up for it, because Kharis is the whole city.
Yeah.
And that you said is
Rishis around
the
Raisi. Right, right. So you're saying that's not even correct on the level of the Raisi? Okay. Good. So Allah Almighty, that's good. If you have Oymed Burba Lapar, it's good. Yeah. What happens if I have a fence, let's say, that's a picket fence, I have a pole, and the gap between each pole is only an inch thick, and the gap in between the poles is 2.5 tvachim of an opening. So you have way more, you have Paritz Murub Alo Oymed. So the Mishnah is saying, no, that's not a problem. If the poles are situated in such a way that they're lover to each other, if each pole is within 3 tefachim to the pole that's next to it, so that's lover. So lover is considered kisos. That's halacha Moshe Messina. Lover. So lover is considered kisos, and it's not considered a pirtz at all. It's considered as if the whole thing is over. So what happens, let's say you have over here, you have 100 amas here. So what if you have, what if the breakdown of the 100 amas is 40 amas is standing? 40 amas is standing, and over here you're missing 20 amas in the middle of this distance. So 40 is 80, and 80 is much more than 20, so it's way more than 50% desired. So this should be acceptable. So the Mishnah says in Erevin that that's a problem of Pirtza Yesa Meyesa. This Mishnah in Erevin Tezvav on the base. If you have a gap in one spot, which is Yesa Meyesa Ramas, that you can't say Oymed Murubala Poritz. They consider the whole thing as Ruba Kukulai, that it's, the whole thing is considered a mechitz. This is a famous machlekes, started off as a machlekes achreinim in recent years, then they discovered it's a machlekes. They were showing whether this din is a din deraisa, a din derabban. There was a famous correspondence that went on in the early 1800s, a machlekes between the Mishkan Yankiv, who was the Misnagid, who was from Litta. He was a Bianca Lekalina, was a Talmud of Rab Chaim Valojan and Valojan Yeshiva. So he had a lot of chumras in Hilchas Eruvin. Basically, has a lot of chumras. And the Beis Ephraim, Rabbi Chaim Zalman Margolius, lived in Galicia, he lived in Broad. And he was mekel on a lot of issues in Eruvin. The way it's usually assumed, the Mishkan Es Yankel came up with chumras that are not, most of his chumras were not accepted, were not observed. So one of the, they have around the 6 or 7 issues that they argued on. So one of the issues they had a debate on was this halacha, Pirtza Yesa Meyesa, is this a din deraisa or a din derabbanan? So the Mishkan Es Yankiv thought that it's a din deraisa. Where is there a pasuk in Chumash that has the din of Pirtza Yesa Meyesa? He says, it's not a pasuk. The Gemara says that shiurim halacha l'moshim isina. So he said, this is included in the shiurim, that's halacha l'moshim isina. That if you have a Pirtza Yesa Meyesa, that can never be considered as sasum, based on the principle of ruba kukula vaymed buru balaparz. And the Beis Ephraim held that it's only a chumra midirabbanan. In recent years, that they printed so many kisrei yad on Maseches Erevin, so they discovered, after they printed the Rabbein Hanan also, he says, I think it's only the Rabbanan, then they discovered that Taisvei HaRosh, in more recent years, holds that it's the Raisa. So it turned out that this is a machlaikis harishayim as well. This is very relevant halacha l'maisa, because when we started the whole discussion of Hilchas Erevin, so we pointed out the Gemara says on Chav Beis Amud Aleph in Erevin, the maskanas of Gemara is: are you concerned about asir rabbim and batle mechitzkana? If you make an erev around the city, and the erev is made in a very inobtrusive fashion, that it doesn't affect the traffic. The Jews, everyone can drive in and out, and they can play ball half in and half out of the erev. It doesn't affect anybody, anything. So it's a question of asir rabbim and batle mechitza. What kind of a mechitza is that? So the maskana was, that's what the Mordechai quoted from the Maharam Rutenberg, based on the extension of the Tosfos. Bottom line is, if the whole issue that you're concerned about is an issue of rabbanon, then you don't have to worry about asir rabbim and batle mechitza. If you're concerned about an issue deraisa, then you have to be worried about asir rabbim and batle mechitza. So the shaila is, what if I have an area which has, I have fences, I have buildings, I have real walls. Let's say over here, on this street, that's what the Chazanish describes, Bayoris HaGdolos. He was consulted about Paris. So he writes in his Sefer Bayoris HaGdolos. If you go down 185th Street, so on this side of the street, you have this building. When the building ends, when first hall ends, so you have the parking lot. So the parking lot has a fence that goes all the way to the end. Over here, you have Gottesman Library, then you have the fence, then you have the buildings over there. So you have Mamish Mechitzah that go to the corner of whatever the next street is, Audubon. Then from the other side of Audubon, you have buildings, parking lot, everything goes till St. Nick. So the Mamish, the streets are lined with Mechitzah. Then the next block also, you have buildings on either side, buildings all the way down. You get all the way down till Broadway. So on Broadway, you have the storefronts in front of you. On the western side of the street, you have all the storefronts. So the Chazon Ish says you have Gimel Mechitzes, makes it a Rishus HaYochid Min HaTorah. A street like this would be a Rishus HaYochid Min HaTorah because you have Oymid Merub Al HaParetz on the two walls, and on the third wall you have Mamish, not Oymid Merub Al HaParetz. It's Kuloi, the whole wall is there. The only issue is, but you have big gaps. When you go across the street over here, from this side of Audubon to the other side, so that's a Pirtz HaYasim HaYasim, and then when you cross St. Nicholas, you have Aita Pirtz HaYasim HaYasim. Every block, when you cross the block, you have a Pirtzah Yasim Yasa. But still, it's Aymed Merub Al HaParetzah. The question is this issue of Pirtzah Yasim Yasa, is this an issue deraisa, or is this an issue derabon? So this was the big machlokes. So the Chazon Ish writes, it's a Dov Yodua, there was a famous machlokes between the Mishkan Yankiv, the Beis Ephraim, and the generally accepted opinion was like the Beis Ephraim, that it's only derabonon, so therefore this street, Menatar Zerushus HaYochid, and you're allowed to carry, since the whole issue is only derabonon. So you make a Tzuras HaPesach on the corners, and you solve the problem of Pirtzi Yes and Yeser, and the fact that the traffic goes through the Tzuras HaPesach shouldn't bother us, because if the whole issue that you're trying to solve is only an issue of the Rabbanon, so Tosfos says you don't have to worry about Osir Rabbim and Mevatne Mechitzes. That's the way it was always assumed for many years. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a few tshuvas about the Erev and Sigate and others. He never refers to the fact that historically there was such a machlokes with the Pirtzi Yes and Yeser as the Raisa the Rabbanon. He never spells it out that he is assuming like that, but all the dinim that he has are based on that assumption. He has a tshuva about the Erev and Seagate. So there's one point where there's no building and there's no Tzuras HaPesach, and the question is, you have the ground goes up in such a way that it's a tel hamislakeit, it reaches the height of 10 tefachim within dal hamis. So it has a din of a mechitza, but then it's a little questionable. It doesn't 100% go steep enough. There's a certain distance where it goes in such a gradual fashion that it doesn't have the status of like a beach. A beach reaches the elevation of 10 tefachim, but it's much more of a distance than Dalai Lama. So a beach which is very gradual incline does not have the status of a mechitza. So Moshe says over here in Seagate, it's not clear and it's not so easy how to measure. You got to get an instrument. So he says, yeah. It's only a suffix whether you have a Pirtzi Yes Miyasa, so you have a right to be Mekel. It's obvious that he assumes Pirtzi Yes Miyasa is only Midirabbanon, so suffix the Rabbanon Lekula. You're not Mukhib to go stand on yet to make yourself crazy to measure it. But he never spells it out explicitly. But in that Tshuva and other Tshuvas, we'll get to the other Tshuva in a minute, he assumes that there were Pasha like this, that the whole topic, the whole din of Pirtzi Yes Miyasa is only Midirabbanon. In recent years, somebody made an Erev in Brooklyn, and one of the Rabbanim from Torah V'Das published a whole essay, why the Erev is no good. So he says, well, the Chazon Ish made a mistake. He thought that Pirtzi Yes and Yes was only with the Rabbanim, and he's wrong because it's their rice. But that's not, he's entitled to his opinion. That was not the accepted opinion. The Chazon Ish writes there was a machlokes, and the accepted opinion was that it's the Rabbanim. Rav Moshe Feinstein doesn't, it's such a davar pashut, he assumes, everyone assumes that Pirtzi Yes and Yes is only with the Rabbanim. The Mishkanes Yankev's Chumrah basically was not accepted that it should be D'Oraisa. The Gemara has another klal. Let's see. These numbers are too big. Let's take an area that has a mechitza around it, not hundreds of amas. Let's say you have a rectangular area, and you have 10 amas long. 10 amas long. So let's figure out a case. Let's say I have a gap of 2.5 amas over here.
Then I have a wall of 2 amas here. Then I have a gap of 2.5 amas over here. How much is that? 5, 6, 7. Then I have 3. See, that's no good. Let's make it 4. We'll make it 11. Change the number. Okay. So let's say this area is 11 amas long, whatever, 5 amas wide, whatever it is. And over here I have 4 amas standing and 2 amas standing. 4 and 2 is 6. And I'm missing 2.5 and 2.5, so it's missing 5. So I have Oymid Meruba ala Paritz on this rock. I have 6 amas are standing and 5 amas are missing, so it should have been good. So the Gemara introduces a new cloud. Also, Yavira, the high Gisa, Omavatulai. If you have an Oymid, if you have a wall that is standing, here I have a wall that goes for a distance of 2 amas. Wrong. And it's missing on either side of the wall either equal space, equal distance, or more. I made a case where it's more, where it's 2.5 amas missing here, 2.5 amas missing here. So the halacha says the gap on this side, the avir, on this side and on this side gang up against the wall that's in the middle, and you count it as if the wall weren't there. So you add up the whole thing as a pirtza, so I have 7. I have a pirtza of 7 now. I only have oimid of 4, and a pirtza of 7, so that's considered paritz merubah l'oimid. So this mechitza is not good. Even on mitzias, I have oimid merubah l'paritz. I have 4 and 2 are standing. There's 6, and only 5 is missing. But the halacha says, osi avir the high gisa, umevatoleh. So Ramosha Feinstein, this is once in a while the shayla comes up. So Ramosha Feinstein has a tshuva where he discusses the following topic. What if you would have such a long wall, 100 amas long, and then in the middle I have a pirtza, let's say in the middle I have 8 amas here, missing 9 amas over here, missing 9 amas over here, but I have 1,000 amas here. Starting from here to the end goes, I have 1,000 amas. From here to this end, I have another 1,000 amas. So whatever I'm going to have in the middle is going to be Oymid Merubah L'Paritz. I have 2,008 amas of Oymid, 8 amas in the middle, and I'm missing 18 amas. I'm missing 18 amas. So if I have 2,008 amas Oymid and 18 amas missing, for sure it's Oymid Merubah L'Paritz. So the shayla is, maybe I should say, Osi Avira the high gisa, Umavatale, maybe the... Since you're missing the 8 or more, the middle only the oimid in the middle is only 8. So I made a case of 9. Even if it would be 8, it would be the same shadow. If you have avir to the right and avir to the left, so maybe I should cross this out in the middle and consider it as if you have a big gap that's 26 amas. So maybe 9 and 9 is 18, and another 8 is 26. So you have a gap of 26 amas in the middle. So it's a pirtza yes and yes. So that's no good. So Moshe writes, lahokil. He says, Asi Avir the Hagisa Mavatale only applies in a case where after declaring Mavatale, after you discount the Oymen in the middle, you'll have Paritz Merubah L'Oymen on that Ruach. But even after Achari Kepos HaFel, even after discounting the Oymen in the middle, the only thing you're going to arrive at is a din of Pirtza Yes and Miesa, so then I don't have to be concerned about Asi Avir the Hagisa Mavatale. Why not? He doesn't explain why not. Obviously, to him, it's so partial because this is a din derabbanan and this is a din deraisa. Oymid merubah l'paritz as opposed to paritz merubah is a din deraisa. So then you apply a din osi avir the hagisa mevatle. This is only a din derabbanan. Moshe never says it explicitly, both in the tshuva on Seagate, where it's hard to gauge whether you have a pirtza yes and yes, and in this tshuva. He never says explicitly, that's obviously what he has in the back of his mind. That's a very funny tshuva. So he says it's going to go through the home sikhta. It's a humorous tshuva. He says it's going to go through the home sikhta. So go through every Gemara that seems to be questionable, since there's no contradiction from that base, Rav Gimel goes through it, no contradiction. Then he says, he's going to go through Rashi, he goes through the home sikhta with Rashi, very funny. Then he says, he's going to go through Tosfos on that base. There's already a Tosfos that contradicts the Beferish, base on the base. So if somehow he waves a magic wand, and then Machtavek the Tosfos, and he said, Tosfos never said it. So that Tosfos, that's what the Chazanish and the Sfasemis, they say, you see from Tosfos Achidish, that not only is there a problem of Avasi Avira the Hagisa Mevatalei, and is going to make it into Paritz Merubah L'Oymid, they say against Rav Moshe. That the simple Pshat of Tosfos indicates that even if it's just going to accomplish a Pirtzi Yes and Meyeser, it also poses a problem. So this comes up, this issue, Pirtzi Yes and Meyeser, Asi Avir, these things come up every so often.
In that case, why isn't there a problem in that case where you had the 11 by whatever by 4 and the on that wall, why isn't that 11 a mahut double? Because on both sides of it you have whatever empty space you have.
That's a question, a discussion in Tesvis. What about the Avir Ha'olam? Over here, you have from here to here, there's nothing. Till infinity, there's nothing there. So Tesvis says that doesn't count. The only Avir that counts, there are two opinions in Tesvis. So one opinion says like that, they get into big trouble, and they stand on their head to Far Enfer. And the accepted opinion in Tesvis is that that's not called Avir. Avir is only Avir that's makif, the mokum that you want to be mukaf. The Avir Ha'olam, the Avir in South Africa, and there's Avir in Australia. What has it got to do? We're talking over here, the Avir of this month. Whatever isn't contiguous to our location doesn't count as Avir. Yeah?
Does both sides of the Avir have to be a bit larger than that which is inside of Yubatel, or together, if they're larger than Yubatel?
No, I think each one has to be equal to or larger than the Oymen in the middle. If both of them. Each one of them has to be equal to the size of the Oymen, or larger than it, then it's mevatel the yamin in the middle.
Most people say like a Rosh. Most people say not.
I would assume not like Ramosh. I would assume not like, because the Tosis really says against Ramosh. The Pashtus and Tosis. But it's a humorous way of chazming the Masechta. First goes through the Masechta with Rashi. There's no contradiction. He doesn't have any raya that he's right. He's just going to look to see if there are any contradictions. So first he goes to the Masechta with Rashi, no contradiction. He says, well, let's go through with Tesis now. How did he go the first time with Rashi without Tesis? I don't know what it means. Yeah. Like he pushed a button on a computer and the Rashi, no contradiction. Then he says, well, Tesis on that base contradicts. But somehow he gets out of it. The Gemara has a machlokes hatanoim, and we pass from the halacha that mechitza tluya is not an acceptable mechitza. Let's say we kept on raising the issue. When you have a Rishus HaYachid, because it has walls around it, but when you open the door, how do you get in? You have to climb over the top? No, you have a door. So when you open the door, so you're not allowed to carry inside. There's no mechitza. So why did I raise an issue? There's no mechitza. What about, see over here, that's probably not 10 tefachim. From on top of the door till the ceiling, it's probably not 10 tefachim. But there are other parts of the building where the ceiling is taller, and even when the door is open, you still have 10 tefachim above. So what was my whole problem? So the answer is, the wall that's above is a mechitza tluya. If it doesn't either touch the ground, they come within 3 tefachim to the ground level, then it's not an acceptable mechitza. That's a machlekes hatanoim in sukkah, by the fanus of sukkah, the same machlekes hatanoim in masechah Shabbos. The more sukkah discusses, is it tali zevzeh? It's not tali zevzeh. You can distinguish in either direction. You can say mechitza. One could argue the point and say maybe mechitza tluya is good by Shabbos, not good by sukkah. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's good by sukkah. It's not good by Shabbos. We pass them. Bottom line, it's no good by both. Mechitza tluya is not acceptable, not by Shabbos and not by Sukkah. There is, however, the Chazon Ish pointed out that he has a disagreement with the Chasam Sofer regarding the nature of this din. Why is Mechitza tluya no good? So the simple reading of the Gemara really, it's hard to say, the superficial reading of the Gemara, before you think too much about it, really sounds like the Chasam Sofer. That the reason why mechitza tluya is no good is because kol mechitza shehagadoyim bokim bo lav shmo mechitza. If you have a mechitza that the gadoyim, the goats, can crawl under it, so that's not called a mechitza. So the tanoim have a machlokes. How much is that? Is that 3 tefachim or is that 4 tefachim? And that's the machlokes in kol ha-tarakula, where the lavud is 3 tefachim or 4 tefachim is based on this. Apparently, the halacha l'Moshe Messina didn't say Lavud is 3 tefachim and Lavud is kesasim. Allah Moshe Messina said, if it's gedoyim bokim bo, then it's no good. If it's not gedoyim bokim bo, then it's kesasim. So what's called gedoyim bokim bo? So that was unclear. What size gedi? A baby gedi, an adult gedi. So there was a machlekes, the Gemara quotes in the first paragraph, machlekes Rabbi Gamliel and Nachachama, it's 3 tefachim and 4 tefachim. So the simple reading of the Gemara in a few places seems to indicate the reason why mechitza tluya suspended in the air is not a good mechitza is because gedoyim bokim bo, and that's why the Gemara says mechitza tluya materis al gabi hamayim. The Mishnah in Erevin has a case on Peivov. Someone has a hotel, an apartment in a hotel, and he has a balcony over the river, over the ocean, and he ran out of water, so he needs water. For whatever purpose, he wants to throw down a bucket into the river and draw the water up into his apartment. But the problem is the river is a carmelis. There's no air around the river.
Rebbe is a Carmelist, and his apartment is the Rishus HaYachid, so you're not allowed to carry from the Carmelist into the Rishus HaYachid. So the Mishnah says a solution. He has a balcony, he has a mirpeset, so let's say this is his mirpeset. So the Mishnah says, let him, and here's the wall to the hotel. Here's the wall, and he has a mirpeset sticking, he has a balcony sticking out. So the Gemara, and let's say there's nothing below his balcony, no other balcony is below. His balcony is directly above the ocean. So the Gemara says, let him drill a hole in the bottom of his balcony. Okay, so he's going to rather than lower the bucket over the sides of the balcony, so he's going to be drawing water from the Carmelist, let him draw a hole over here, and let him make mechitzes that are suspended over here, 10 tefachim tall over here. One mechitzah he's going to have is going to be the wall of the building. Fine. Let him make another 3 mechitzahs, 1, 2, 3, that don't have to go all the way down to the river. Just suspend it a little bit, 10 tefachim suspended. So this whole area is considered a Rishus HaYachid, that's Mukaf here. And then I say good Achis mechitzah, just like you say good Asik mechitzah, whenever you have mechitzahs. I say the status of Rishus HaYachid is Alad L'Rakia. So if you have mechitzas that are suspended, then you say gurachis mechitzas. Mechitzas go down, we visualize mechitzas if they go all the way down. Usually you can't say gurachis mechitzas if you have mechitzas suspended in midair because it's a mechitzas tluya. Mechitzas shagdoyim bokimba. But the Gemara says over here, there are no gidoyim. It's talking about a river where you don't have boats that go. If you have boats that go on top of the river, take takanesh, or people swimming there, so it's no good. But if you have a river where the only animals that are moving around are not seals that are jumping on top of the water, they're fish that are below the surface of the water. So the Gemara says, Bikiyas dogim is lav shmo bikiya. The fact that the fish swim, that doesn't bother me. So Rashi says, because it's not nikar, they're swimming below the surface of the water. The only time it's a problem is if you have boats, or you have people swimming, or you have seals, animals that are jumping on top of the water, then you say, Gidoyim bokimbo is no good. So the simple pshat in Gemara is that the reason why mechitza tluya is generally not acceptable is because gedoyim bokimbo. But if you'll have a hechet timtzu where it's not gedoyim bokimbo, then the Gemara says mechitza tluya materas al gabi hamay. So the Gemara says this guy who has the Mishnah says the guy has the mirpeset. He should have the drill a hole in the floor and then he should lower the bucket down and he has the mechitzas tluyas over here. Shain said that area in the river directly below the mechitzas has a status of rishus hayachid. And when he pulls up the bucket, he's taking the water from Rishus HaYachid into his Rishus HaYachid, is no problem. The only time you need an Erev to carry from one Rishus HaYachid to the other is if a different family lives in this Rishus HaYachid, a different family lives over here, then you need an Erev. So over here, on the Mepeset, in the apartment I live. In the river, nobody lives over there. So you don't need any Erev over there. That's not a problem. A couple of years ago, there was a whole Machlekes in Sydney, Australia. Machlekes between two shuls and between two rabbanim. The part of Machlekes was about this, that one of the rabbis insisted there were two shuls that were mamish adjacent to each other. I think the Mizrahi shul was adjacent to Bnei Akiva Minyan or something like that. So the rabbi insisted that they need an Erev in order to be allowed to carry. They used to carry the shalashudas from one building to the other, Sifrei Torah for Hakafis, whatever, one building to the other, mamish adjacent to each other. So the rabbi insisted that they need an Erev, and the other rabbi said that the first rabbi is an Amoritz, you don't need an Erev, because nobody lives in the shul. He's right, basically. Nobody lives in the shul. They each other shul is there, but that's not called the only time people asser on each other is if you have this, if one family lives here, a different family lives here, then you have takana shleim ha-melech that you need an Erev echatzeres. But if you're carrying from one rooftop to another rooftop, even though people live in the building below, but no one lives on the roof, so that's a machloikes hatanoim. Many chachamim hold in the Mishnah, kishem shidyum chalukim lamata, kach diyum chalukim lamaila. Since different family lives inside this building, different family lives in that building, so even the Rishus HaYachid that's on top of the roof is also called Rishus HaYachid Shal Ruven, and that's called Rishus HaYachid Shal Shimon. And we don't paskin like that either. We paskin from one rooftop to another rooftop to a little backyard. Nobody lives in the backyard, even though the backyard is adjacent to the house. The people go from the house into the backyard. But no one has any deer in the backyard. So you're allowed to carry from one end of the city to the other. That's what the Gemara says. There was no Erev. And Reb Shimon by Harp, Shimon allowed them to carry from this rooftop to that rooftop to the other rooftop to the garden to this. Each makam was mukav, and no one lived there. So no one asks on anybody else.
What's considered a dira for this purpose? What's considered a dira in regard to this law?
The Gemara has a machlekes Rabbi Shmuel by the makam Peter Gurm and makam Lina Gurm, the place where people sleep or the place where people eat. But it means where they eat kavua, not they have shalshuras there. The main meals Friday night and Shabbos morning and all week long they're not eating in the shul. Shal shul is a get together. That's not called makan pita. Pasta is pita.
You gotta go to the yeshiva where people like eat their dinner today, whatever it is.
No.
So you have yeshivas that they speak to each other, is that what you require
of? I don't think so. No, it means where do they eat the main meals? The Gemara has a long discussion about this. How do you determine what's called a makan dira? What's not called a makan dira? But if you have a dormitory where the students sleep and they all eat in the other buildings, they all sleep in this building, they all eat in that building. So which building is called the base bureau of the students? So the Gemara has a long discussion about that. Shulchan Aruch, a lot of details about that. So the Chasam Sofer lived in Presburg and he had a problem. There were non-Jews lived in Presburg also. The Nochum always used to rip down the area. So they used to rip down the poles of the area. You can solve the problem, put the wires very high so they can't reach so high, but they ripped down the poles. So he came upon nightfall. He had the poles attached to the sides of the building so high up. Let's say the tallest Nochri is a football player. He's 7 feet tall. How high can he reach? Another 2 feet. So he put the pole started 10 feet above the ground. So he had the economy count, the Tzuras HaPesach count, the Kam, 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 Kam. The pole began 10 feet above the ground and it went for 40 inches, went for 10 tefachim, and that was the konet. So the Chazanish writes, that's ridiculous. That's a mechitza kluya. The Tzuras HaPesach is supposed to represent the mechitza. The mechitza has to begin with 3 tefachim to the ground. So what was the Chasam Sofer thinking of that he made such a crazy error? So the Chazanish first knocks sense into it and then he says, but I humbly submit that he's wrong. So he says, he probably means like this, that he probably thought like this, that the only reason why a mechitza that's suspended in mid-air, above 3 tefachim, is no good, is because gidoyim bokem bo. And the Gemara says, mechitza tlui al gabi amayim is good, because there is no bikiyas gidoyim. The only thing you have is bikiyas dogim, and bikiyas dogim lav shmo bikiyah. So Rashi says, why? Because they're not nikir, they're not near him. They're swimming below the water. But if you have boats going, then it would be a problem. If you have people swimming, it would be a problem. So the Chazanish quotes a Gemara in Bava Kamma that the Gemara says, "Ein dark mishal b'ni adam lehischachich b'ksolim." It's not normal when people walk down the block; they don't walk so close to the wall that they're rubbing their clothes against the wall. They're going to get their jacket all dirty. They're going to have it's going to tear. So people don't walk so close, and the people walk at least an inch, 2-3 inches removed from the wall. They don't brush up against the wall. So if you have, and he says, "Mistama animals also don't rub up against the wall." They walk near the wall, but not directly touching next to the wall. So if you have a pole of an Erev, how thick is the pole of the Erev? An inch thick. Doesn't have to be. An inch thick, Lamazon. There is one chumra that, we'll get to that. One chumra that has to be an inch thick, an etzba. So let's say you have a pole of an Erev that's an inch thick. But it's attached to the building and it starts 10 feet up. So the Chazanish writes, Mistam, and that's what the Chasam Sofer felt, that doesn't pose a problem. Because true, it's a mechitza tluya, but it's not gidoyim bokem bo. Nobody walks directly below that. So since nobody walks directly below, it doesn't have to be within 3 or 4 tefachim to the ground. It's not a problem. So then the Chazanish says, that's apparently what the Chasam Sofer thinks. And he doesn't think that it's correct. He thinks that that kula, the Gemara has a lashon, kalhu shehikilu chachamim b'mayim. It was a special kula that the rabbis introduced with respect to drawing water from the river and to bring it into the mirpeset that we allow a mechitza tluya. So he says, wait a minute, why did the Gemara use an expression kalhu shekilo chachamim b'mayim? Why is it a kula? To tell you the truth, Pasha Pshat, when I learned the Gemara, I didn't think it meant it was a kula. I thought the rabbis were lenient because mechitza tluya is good provided there's no bikiyas gedoy. If it's only bikiyas dogim, there's no problem. So the Chazanish says, no, that's not what it says. It says, kalu shekilo. It's a leniency, because carrying in a carmelist, the only shor carrying from the river is only midrabbanan to begin with, so you have a right to be mekel, so it's a kula that they allow the kiyas dogim. He says, mikarad din mechitza tluy is no good, period. Not because gidoyim bokim bo. Any mechitza tluy is no good. To carry in the water, when the whole issue is to carry in the water, to carry from the water into the mepeset, since the whole issue is only Rabbanan, so there they were makel to say that if it's only Bikiyas Dogim, it doesn't bother me. But if you want to carry in a city, on the dry land, and you have a real issue, not just carrying in the water, you want to carry in the city, you're going to rely on a Mechitza Tlui because it's Ein HaGadoyim Bokim, but because it's only an inch off of the building. So the Chazanish disagrees with the Chasam Sofer. He thinks that it's no good. He has one simon in the Chazanish where he has a list of issues where he miscellaneous issues where he disagrees with the Chasam Sofer and Hilchas Eruvin. So he writes out of humility, he wrote this siman shalo be'iyun hatzor. He didn't really learn through the whole, he didn't learn through the whole, he didn't want to attack the Chasam Sofer so much. So he says, he's not so sure about everything that he writes here, but he disagrees with around 20 things that the Chasam Sofer said in different places in Hilchas Eruvin. Puts them all in one siman. Yeah. Yeah.
Why would you say that mechitza, which is since it's attached to the building, why
don't
you say it's a
dofen akuma? Dofen akuma is a special din, it's sukkah. I don't see.
Well, I'm saying that for a sukkah work, which is where you brought the whole idea of because I invoke in the first place. You don't say that the fact that they're going to walk underneath the dofen akuma part of the sukkah.
The Doifan Akuma is considered the extension of the wall. The wall, the defanas of the sukkah have to be within
the talking. So why can't you say that this pole which is attached to the building is considered an extension of the building?
But the building itself, if the building wouldn't be within three talking to the ground, the building wouldn't serve as a mechitza. This is next to the building, it's not on top of the building. The Doifan Akuma is an extension higher up, but the bottom of the doifen akuma is the bottom of the doifen, which is within three tefachim to the ground. But here, the pole of the suras hapesa is the next inch of the mechitza, so it has to be within three tefachim to the ground. So it's usually assumed, like the Chazon Ish said, that the poles have to be within three tefachim to the ground. I don't think anybody's mekel today. Things the Chazon Ish throws in another chumrah that belongs in the next context, in the fourth unit. The Gemara says the main klal of a Tzuras HaPesach is that Pischi Shamoi are not acceptable. The Tzuras HaPesach has to be a normal, it has to look like a normal frame of a door, the way the carpenter would build the frame of a door. And if it's poorly constructed, Shlomiel did a job, very poor job, Pischi Shamoi. A shoddy job, so that's not acceptable. So what's considered Pischi Shamoi? So the Gemara has a few examples, and the Poskim add on additional examples. So the Chazon Ish gives another example. The Chazon Ish has a lot of dinim based on this, that Pischi Shamoi, fully constructed Pesach, doesn't have the status of Tzuras HaPesach. So he says, which Meshugana would build a frame of a door, and one pole wouldn't reach the ground? So you got to have both sides. Kana Mikan should be standing on the ground. The kanal gabeihem, any frame of any door, the two poles on either side that constitute the frame of the door are touching the floor, or very close to the floor, but you don't have it. You don't say lovud is a halacha. Lovud is a halacha l'mashim yisini. You can't construct. If you ask a goyish carpenter, how do you build a door? Do you use lovud? He said, what lovud? When lovud? Never heard of lovud. When you construct a door, you can't use halacha. You have to use common sense. How do you build a door? He says you can't use lovud. Love it is when you're working, if you have a mechitza, so this mechitza is love it to the other mechitza, you have two poles, you say love it. But the constructed Tzuras HaPesach has to be the way normal people construct the Tzuras HaPesach. Chazon Ish disagreed, Rav Tzvika Yisrael Frank has a tshuva where he's maker like this. Here the Mishnah Din, if you have a mavui, and he said the first Mishnah Din, he said, if you have a mavui that has three walls, and the Rabbanan have to make a tikkun on the roof of this, so the first Mishnah says, that if you put a kor, if you put a beam across from one side to the other, the beam has to be a tefach wide. So that's also good, provided that the beam is not lamaila mesiram. And this man is there, there are more quotes at Trumas Hadesh, and we don't have any din mavui, this man is there, so we can't use the korah. The heter of korah doesn't apply. So the Gemara has a din. If you have a korah that doesn't extend all the way, the korah extends part of the way, and this side of the building has a korah extending, and the two are within three tefachim to each other. There's a gap of 2.5 tefachim that separates in between this korah that comes out from the top of this building and that korah. So the Gemara says, lovud, good enough, it's okay, you say lovud. So Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank has a shul, what if you have a tzuris at Pesach? You have an erev around an area, then you have kona bikan, and then the kona al gabeihem. And somehow you have after an Erev that goes like this. It goes a little bit this way. Rabbi Pesach Frank has the following motion. You have an Erev that stacks so low that it's within 10 tefachim to the ground. Here's the ground. And this part of the rope of the Erev is within 10 tefachim to the ground. So it's no good. An Erev that's below 10 tefachim to the ground. So down the bottom part. So this is discount.
So you have an Erev that's like this. You have a Kana Mikan and a Kana Mikan and a Kana Al-Gabayim and a Kana Al-Gabayim, and you're missing the middle. So that's the Pesach Chaim. So how much are you missing already? So he says if the gap between the part that's below the top is not acceptable, so it's if the part that you're missing in between here and here is less than three tochim, so you can say love it, so it's good. So he's mekel, just like the Gemara and Shulchan Aruch say love it by the Koro, so you can say love it by the Tzuras HaPesach. So the Chazon Ish writes it, and he thinks that that's ridiculous. A Tzuras HaPesach has to be kidav the inchi, like a carpenter will build it. You can't use halachas to say Koro is not a halacha that corresponds to anything in reality. Koro is a takanas chachamim. So they said, if you have lovut, so it's considered as if the Koro is extended all the way across. But the constructed Tzuras HaPesach, so the Chazon Ish time is the main rule is that if it's pishri shamay, if it's poorly constructed, it's not acceptable. So he says you can't use lovut to consider it as if it's a properly constructed. So he tainis wadinami, the poles have to be touching the ground, mamish. If the poles are suspended, if the poles are above the ground, even if it's only less than three tochim to the ground, then you can say lovut. So the Chazanish thinks that that's not acceptable. He also said that's not kosher, because it's pishri shamay, it has to be kidiyav the issue. Some Rabbanim who recommend bedafke, when they make their Erev, they insist bedafke that the pole should not go all the way down to the ground, because why? What they tell me, a whole explanation, because the automobiles are going to crash into it, and it's going to ruin it anyway, and when it's going to snow, so the snow is going to eat away on the bottom, so why should they have it, and it's going to cause the whole thing to get ruined. So they start lachatchila like that. They leave the bottom 2.5 tochim of the Tzuras HaPesach, they leave it missing. They bang it onto whatever a building, and they leave off the bottom 2.5 tochim. So the Chazon Ish says that their Erev is not good. Chazon Ish says that it's not good. It's not true. The Chazon Ish's opinion is not the generally accepted opinion. The popular view is that you do allow your makel. People don't insist on leaving out the bottom 2.5 tochim, but generally everybody is makel about that. That's what the classical poskim say. And even the Chazon Ish's brother-in-law, the Stipler. In his Sefer on Erevin, in one place, he writes, well, of course, that's a double poshut, that if the pole is within three tvachim, that that's acceptable. He puts that in a parenthesis. If that's a double poshut, everybody knows that. Except for his brother-in-law, the Chazon Ish, who said that it's no good. Then the Gemara has a klal. I remember when I was a rabbi in Paramus, many of the Balabatim's backyards had this problem. They had walls around the whole backyard, and they weren't allowed to carry. It was Oymid Guru Balaparis all over the place. But as Pisca the Karen Love is Layabi in Shi. It means if you have like this, let's say you have four machitzas. And everything is Aymed Muruba Laparis. Mamish walls, fences, separate. Aymed Muruba Laparis. But you're missing, and it's less than Eseramis is missing there. But you're missing in the corner on both sides. If this mechitza would go another 3 inches, then, and this pirtza is less than Esser, so you have a right to say that Oymed Muruba Laparit, you consider this kesosa. Or, if this would go over here, and this would be missing, and it's less than Esser Ramas, so you say that this is, you visualize the line continuum, because Oymed Muruba Laparit is good, but if it's missing on both sides, then that's called Pisca de Karen Zavis, lay out the inches. So even though the gap is less than Eseramas, you're not allowed to carry in your own backyard. Because it's not called the Rishus Sayach. This is a Gemara in Erevin. The Shaila is, what if it's Lovewood? Yeah, Lovewood is a body good. If the gap between the end of this wall and the end of this wall, if the distance over here, the diagonal is less than 3 tochim, it's a body going to say Lovewood. That's not a Shaila. But the Shaila is if it's more than 3 tvachim. If it's 3 tvachim or more, lovet is always less than 3 tvachim. So if it's exactly 3 tvachim, you don't say lovet. So what if it's 3 tvachim or more, the gap? So then you have a question. So the Mishnah, so the Rashash and Daf Dalet, I think, the Rashash and Daf Vav, I'm not the beginning of Erevin. The Rashash has a haychacha from the Gemara that if the gap is Dalet tvachim or less, then it is okay. Because Dalet tvachim is the Shir Pesach. So he says, Pisa the Karen Zav is Layab the Inchi is only if the gap between the end of this Mechitza and the beginning of this Mechitza is more than Dalat Tochim. He said, it has a Gemara that if it's exactly 4 Tochim or less, if it's less than 3 Tochim, it's lovely. But if it's between 3 Tochim and 4 Tochim, he thinks that would also be acceptable. The Mishnah Brura quotes Rashba from the Sefer Avodas HaKodesh, which is very strange. The Rashba says that if the gap between the two is six tfachim or less, then it's acceptable. Six tfachim is an amma. That's very strange. We don't have any shear in Hilchas air then that depends on one amma. Where did he get that from? The Rashba doesn't give any right. Mishnah Berurah doesn't give a right. He just quotes. The Rashba says in Avodah Zarah Kaddish, six tfachim. That shaila comes up. This issue does come up. As I said, that the Baal Batim and Paramus, quite a few of them had that issue. So it's easy to sell. You just have to, sometimes you just have to add on another 2 inches of a fence. That's the Gansa Maisa. It won't be missing on both directions. Then there is a topic of Siluk Mechitzis, which is a concept developed by the Gemara, which many Rabbanim are not familiar with. I gave a mashal, you may have had this already. I gave a mashal that came up halacha on Maisa. Let's say a fellow had a house in the country, let's say like this. Next house next to him is over here, fine. And then he had a backyard that had a fence around it. Let's see. Then I think the fence went like this, fine. So the shaila was, let's say I raise it up all the details, let's say it goes like this. Forget about it. So you have three fences in the backyard. And he has a doorway over here going from his house, and here's the street, and here's the house, and here's the backyard. And here's a driveway, and this is also a driveway. So the shaila is to carry in the backyard, you have three mechitzas that are complete, 1, 2, 3. And this mechitza is I'm in Ruv al HaPoros. This is a few hundred amas long. And the driveway is less and less aramis is missing. You know, less and less aramis missing here. So if you carry in the backyard, there's no shaila. You don't need any tikkun here. Shaila, he had a side door. And he wanted to carry from the house through the side door and then to carry into the backyard. Also, didn't want to carry everything to the backyard. But that was the shaila. Are you allowed to carry on the side or not? So one of the rabbonim, his rabbi told him that it's oimed beruba al hapor. It's over here. You have 500 aramis over here. Then you're only missing 9 amas over here, so time to move all parts, so it's good. So the Gemara says exactly this kind of a case, that that's not acceptable. Why? If there wouldn't have been, if these walls wouldn't have been here, if there wouldn't have been these walls, you would have just had a fence over here that's 500 amas long, and you'd be missing over here, so that's fine. So you have Oymed Gurubala parts. You're missing 9 amas here, 9 amas here. If you're missing 18 amas, and you have 500 amas in the middle, you don't have Eser amas in one spot. You don't have the Pirtzi Esmeres. So it's fine. So I'm going to roll up parts so you can carry the whole backyard. But you do have, this is a whole enclosed area. That's a Rishon Sayyotin. So the Halacha declares Siluk Mechitzes. This Mechitze only serves now as a Mechitze on the street. It's or mechitza for the house, but it's a mechitza that makes the inside of the house mukaf, and it serves as a mechitza for the street. It's no longer a mechitza for this area. No longer a mechitza for this area. But this area has this mechitza, is bordering, is contiguous on it. So the back building of the house is the mechitza for the backyard. What's the mechitza for the walls over here? What for the driveways over here? So this is one mechitza, this is another mechitza, this is the third mechitza, right? So you have 1, 2, 3, you have all these 3 mechitzas. Yeah, but where's your 4th mechitza? The fact that the gap is less than 10 amas doesn't help. That's called nifritz b'milua. Mamish, there's nothing there. There's no wall at all. Let's say you have an area that has 3 walls, and the whole gap is only 9 amas. So you don't say, well, it's pachas miyasa, there's no problem. No, pachas miyasa is if you have oimen ruv al haparetz, if you have a long wall over here, you have 100 amas over here, and 100 amas over here, and you have a gap of 9 in the middle, when I say, I'm in Gurubal Akbarat, I have 200 amas standing, and 9 amas is missing, so appears a Pachas Me'asir is not a problem. I say, I'm in Gurubal Akbarat. But over here, if the whole thing is different than Milur, there's nothing there. There are no mechitzas at all. So unless it's going to be less than Gimel Tvachm, it'll be Lavud. But then it's, the whole thing is a Pirtsa, so you got a problem. So over here, if it's, this is called, as far as the backyard is concerned, you have Oymed Gurubal Akbarat. You have over here 500 amas standing, missing only 9 amas here, 9 amas here. So if you carry in the backyard, there's no problem. But to carry in the 2 driveways over here, you can't carry there. It's different than Milua. You can't say over here, I have 500 amas on the front wall and I'm only missing 9. No, the front wall is no longer makif this makam. The front wall, once you make mechitzas like this, So that's Mesulah from here. That's no longer Makif this area. So this area is left. The difference between the Lord, there's nothing there. You have to make some kind of a tikkun. You have to put a Tzimus HaTasach over there.
This issue of Silik Mechitza comes up every so often.
The other three walls are Makif, but you only have three walls, you don't have a fourth wall.
No, so why aren't the other three walls of the house?
All the four walls of the house are now Makif, the inside of the house.
But they're also Makif, what is directly or
what's
directly
contiguous to it, right.
Three of them are directly contiguous to the backyard.
The backyard has mamish, three walls here, and the back wall of the building is the fourth wall.
Well, the thing is, you can visualize it as sort of an octagonal backyard.
What are you visualizing?
Would you see the whole backyard as being a front house is a view wall in the center of it?
The house separates. I don't get it. Still don't get it.
What I'm saying is it could be construed as a fourth wall. Sort of is this sort of. I mean, if you had something that looked like this, would you say that this is like one sort of curving wall, or would you say something like this? Then you visualize it that way, and if it were, and if this were the wall,
we would say the same here. This part has taka all the former pieces. Once you reach over here, you're missing different thing. You're missing the whole wall. Yeah. You're right. That's what it looks like. That's taka all this. You think that's not acceptable?
Okay. Why is the bed not okay? What is the difference between the
and the? That's not the milua. See, I have 500 amas here, missing 9 here, missing 9 here. See, from the perspective, when you're standing in the backyard, from the perspective of the one standing in the backyard, this is the Ruach Revius. The Ruach Revius has Oymed, Ruvala Paris. I'm missing 18 amas, not in one spot, missing 9 here, 9 here, and I have 500 amas in the middle. So that's Oymed, Ruvala Paris. That's not the Milur. But from the perspective of this area here, no ticket on the Ruach Revius at all. There's nothing there. That's the Milur. This is the Milur.
Because of which machitzos can we now say that the front one facing the street cannot act for the driveway? Is it all three additional ones?
Yeah, these two, once you have these two added on, so this machitza is no longer servicing this area nor this area. But this machitza here hacks it off. It's no longer mitzdarif.
Even if there would be no back of the house, that's what we've got to have. But in terms of the driveway, the back of the house is real. So in terms of this idea of sealing mechitzos, the fact is mechitzos also in the back is real. It's just those two side mechitzos are what causes us to say sealing.
These two side mechitzos.
From the driveway to the backyard is fine? That doesn't mean it's
you can't carry in the driveway, period, because you're missing the tikkun on the Ruach Revius. Once you make a tikkun over here, once you put a Tzimus HaPesach here, so then there's no problem. So this is a full-fledged Rishus HaYochid. The back way is also a full Rishus HaYochid.
Okay, but one doesn't need to put up a Tzimus HaPesach
over here. No. There's no need. Pitikur Vesosim is an important topic.
Ready?
Yeah.
Do you want to discuss the back bungalow that the came up? The back is the ground, the elevated.
A lot of times you have bungalows that are on cinder blocks, are on sticks. So the walls of the bungalow are touching the floor of the bungalow. So those who are inside are in a Rishus HaYochid. But even if you have the bungalows around in a circle, and even if the front of all the bungalows, the width of the bungalow is wider than the gap in between one bungalow and the next, so you have Oymed Merubah Laports, around a whole circle like that. But the front wall of the bungalow doesn't serve as a mechitza for the area in the middle, because the
often the walls of the bungalow don't reach the ground. They're not within 3 tefachim to the ground. So it serves as a mechitza for the floor inside the bungalow, because there it's touching the floor. But it's not touching the grass. It's not touching the ground outside. So that's a common issue.
Before the Tzurza Pesach, let's say the floor is the top beam of the Tzurza Pesach and the two sticks on either side, and that form the Tzurza Pesach.
The din is that in order to constitute a Tzurza Pesach, it has to be something other than the structure itself. Like over here, that's what the Mishnah was Yankiv has in Shulman, and this they didn't disagree with. A lot of things that Frank disagreed with, this is not bad. He says the frame of the door is something separate from the wall of the building itself. He says you can't just have. Nimar has an expression in Yuman, Dafirav, the Gemara says there was a certain city where they had Tzuras HaPesach and they didn't have a mezuzah. Amar Zachan didn't have a mezuzah. So the Gemara says it doesn't need a mezuzah. That if you have a pole that serves the purpose of Lachzuki Tikra, the purpose of this pole is to hold up the beam, but to hold up the ceiling. So that can't serve as a Tzuras HaPesach. Tzuras HaPesach has to be something separate from the structure itself. Or for example, the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Tikkun Erevin by the Nesivos at the end of the Mekor Chaim and Hilchos Pesach, that he writes that how wide does the pole have to be? And why does he want it to be? But he says if it's more than Dalet Amos long, then it's called the structure, and then it can't serve as a Tzuras HaPesach. Tzuras HaPesach has to be something separate from the structure. Or a lot of times, let's say when you have a fence, when you have a fence in front of a parking lot, so you have a pole, and then you have 6 feet later, you have 6-7 feet later, you have another pole, then another pole, and then you have the fence stretches from one to the other. So then you come to the end of the, so that's a good mechitza, fine. Then you come to the end, so you want to make a Tzuras HaPesach to go back. Here you have a building, you don't need a Tzuras HaPesach. Well, let's say you have such a parking lot, and then you want to make a Tzuras HaPesach. So the Pashto says you can't use the last pole as the corner of the Tzuras HaPesach. That pole is part of a long fence. That pole is not something separate. That pole is like Lachzuki Tikra is no good. That pole is to hold up the rest of the fence. The Tzuras HaPesach has to be something separate from the structure. So if you have a house that's built in such a way, I remember they took me around years ago when Dr. Lamb first became the president, so he wanted the Rebbe's and YU to officially endorse him in that name. So we had to go see what it was. We wanted to know the masters. So someone took us around, I said, 2 weeks before Pesach. So they're showing us the bridges. So the Shaila was, there's a din of nifritz l'makom asur, even if you have an eruv around an area, but you can leave the area, the rishus hayachid, carrying something, you can walk into an area where you're not allowed to carry without crossing a mechitza, so then you're not allowed to carry even in the inside. So the problem is in New York City, even if you'll assume that Manhattan is built up, the edge of the island is built up in such a way, which is not 100%. Even if it were built up in such a way that it would be mechitza all the way around, but still you have the George Washington Bridge starts 3 blocks before the end of the island. And then you have the tunnels, the Lincoln Tunnel, the Hamel Tunnel, all the bridges and all the tunnels, everything starts in the middle. So you can leave the middle of Manhattan by walking down these places and you won't be crossing through any mechitza. So one of the rabbanim said, but it's okay, he says. So he says, look up on top of the bridge. Don't you see the way the bridge is constructed? It has a built-in Tzuras HaPesach. So I asked one of the guys who was there in the car, I said, why did they build the bridge like that? So he says, physics. If you're not going to build a bridge like that, it's going to fall apart. So that's called Lachzuki Tikra. If they have to build the bridge in such a way in order to hold the floor together, it's also Lachzuki Tikra. The Tzuras HaPesach has to be something separate from the structure of the building. It can't be something that's necessary to hold together the building. Pitikra Yerbisos. Okay. Pitikra is a machlek, is Rabbi Shmuel. And the Gemara exactly the details of Pitikra Yerbisos. And then Zamachlek is Rashi and Tosfos had to understand the machlek is Rabbi Shmuel. Shulchan Aruch, Rashi's opinion is not accepted. What they accept is Tosfos' sheet. So Tosfos says like this. If you have, based on the Gemara and Sukkot, if you have two walls that are parallel to each other, and then you have a Tikra on top. So do you have the right to say that the piha tikra, this is the edge of the tikra, this is the edge of the tikra, that there you're in the seisim, so the Gemara says, sukkah, no, you can't say that. Gemara's talking about Hilchos Shabbos. Gemara says you can't say it because it's foolish, because it's people to walk through and through. But if you have two walls that are at a right angle to each other, like the bus shelters, are often constructed like that. They have a roof on top, and then they have a plastic wall or a glass wall that are right angles to each other. And that's all. You just have two walls that are contiguous, and then you have a roof on top. So then Halacha says that you say Pitikra, you serve as the roof shlishis in the roof of these. That's probably Halacha Moshe Yisina. That you say Pitikra, you're in the Sos. So the Ramah Paschal is like that. The Ramon Shulchan Aruch quotes this halacha that you can be mekel on pi tikra if you have two walls that are like this. The Bir halacha suggests a chumrah. He says the Rif and the Rambam are of the opinion that pi tikra only works if you have three mechitzos and you only need a tikka on the roch of yis midirabbanon, so then you can rely on pi tikra. They seem to all that pi tikra is only an invention midirabbanon. It doesn't work on the level of the rice at all. So if all you're worried about is a tikkun on the roch avis, a mehechet esav, so we'll allow you to say pi tikra. But they wouldn't allow it on the third and the fourth wall. So the Mishnah Berurah and the Bir Halacha makes a suggestion, a very difficult suggestion. He says maybe when the Ramos says if you lock your house and you take out the key and there's no Arab in the city, so you want to hide the key in the front lawn, but the front lawn doesn't have mechitzas around it. So he says, well, if the building has two walls that are like this, and you have a tikra, so you say, tikra yerba sesam, so you can hide the key over there somewhere. You can leave the key under the mat, and you're carrying from Rishu Sayach and into the house, it's right there, Rishu Sayach. There's no problem. So the Mishnah Berurah suggests, maybe the Ramah didn't really mean that. Maybe the Ramah meant to say that the maximum you could be makel is if you have two walls. But maybe he really would agree that you should be machmer like the Ramah. Never says a word. The Ramah never says a word about the Ramah. If you don't read the Mishnah Berurah, you will never know that such a Rambam exists. How can it be that there are moments? It's very shvet. Anyway, so that's the Mishnah Berurah. For some reason or another, recommends maybe one should be machma not to rely on the pitikra yerbisos, only for the tikkun on the roch of east. Every so often it comes up halacha lemaisa pitikra comes up when you're making an erev in a big area. You're making an erev in a big area, and then you get the chveis. There's an overpass. You don't want to go past that, so can you rely on the pitikra for the roch? It's even according to Ram, can you rely on the pitikra for the roch revis? So the pashtus is that for the roch revis, even the Rambam will agree that it's good. If you have three mechitzas, you just want to use the pitikra for the roch revis, should lechor be fine. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where he threw in a new chumra. Rav Moshe quotes a Gemara in Sukkah, and he translates the words of the Gemara. It's a question simply how to translate the words of the Gemara. Rav Moshe translates the words of the Gemara that the tikra is only good if the tikra was put up with the intention of protecting the people below. It was put up l'shem tikra. But if the overpass is to hold up a highway on top, when the government made this overpass, they weren't interested in protecting anybody below. They don't want anybody to walk there. It's near the river. It's dangerous. They hope no one goes there. They get angry when the Rabbonim are going there to check an area. They don't want anybody to go there because it's not safe. So if the tikra was put up, the shame to hold the traffic up on top of it, and wasn't put the shame to serve as a tikra, so Rav Moshe claims that that's not acceptable. That's the way he translated the words in the Gemara. And many others disagree. I think most others disagree with Rav Moshe. They say that it doesn't say that at all in the Gemara. Maybe we'll start from this topic next week. Okay. To know what it does say in the Gemara, you got to have a whole picture and to study the picture. Okay. So we'll start from this next week.